Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is the last day. I think it is the last day of, wow, that's so true. Today's the last day of June. I think tomorrow's July 1st, and we're kicking off a July 1st four-day weekend because 4th of July is on Tuesday. So it's going to be pretty busy. It's going to be nice. I forgot it was even coming up, and I was booking appointments for next week, and I realized, hey, people are taking a four-day weekend. So pretty cool. You guys be safe. Enjoy your weekend. It's going to be fun, that's for sure. It's always fun. Those things are always fun. When we get together with everyone, it's always fun. So I hope you have a great time. But before that, we've got this. And I have a question today from Eliana. And it was posted on the page. And she said, I recently attended an event where an activist stated that people who voice love changes and doesn't address the issue at hand. In a sense, they mean that by stating the word love silences and is compliant by not challenging those oppressive views. As a matter of fact, it happened towards the end of the event where someone in the audience stated that the speakers were loving. Smirks ensued. I truly believe a big part of loving yourself is speaking up on political and socio-economical issues. I like to believe that I express my voice in activism through the art and in many other ways which soothes my soul. To dig a bit deeper, during life, Jesus Christ spoke out on many social and political injustices by empowering people on many levels. These public sermons were considered a threat to the government and religious hierarchy. I truly believe that is why Jesus Christ was sacrificed. My question for Christ in this time, keeping our love, truth, and purity silent from political, social, economic issues, has shown throughout history as compliance to all that is happening around us. In a sense, we stay in a very happy bubble of love. The world continues to move and is left to our children. How could we presently express Christ's loving words and address the issues at hand without changing the subject? Thank you and much love, Eliana. And then she wrote in the comments, I meant that I could live in my own bubble and not care about the exterior world. It's very easy for me to do because I'm blessed. At the same time, I do care very much about our place in the world. The fact that we feel that we have to separate the world just because we feel love or love for the world is like saying that we exist without breathing. The only thing that has changed anything that people wanted to do that has ever hurt us was love and passion of somebody who really felt like that was their thing to take care of. Just because somebody is coming from a place of love, it does not mean they are stupid, nor does it mean they are unaware, nor does it mean that they don't care about other people. Just because someone's coming from love, people who love have varied interests, just like people who might not be coming from love. And a lot of people that you think are coming from love, when you meet them, you find out, not really. And some people you think aren't coming from love, and then you meet them and you go, oh my gosh, I really called this one wrong. Because this person is like, they're really thinking about what they're doing. And we start thinking that maybe we shouldn't be judging people. The problem at hand is that when the voice of love starts to come out and people start to feel, it overwhelms us, and it overwhelms us a great deal to the point that we honestly don't know how to handle ourselves, because now we have to fight. Now we have to stand in a position to stand by what's right. With Christ, and, you know, Christ is only love, and he has affected each and every human on earth, whether they are aware of it or not. So to think of love as weakness, it's really interesting. You don't need to change the subject. Speak on the subject. Because it's not that, and maybe I should say it like this, because of Christ, I felt like I always had to apologize because I saw him. I didn't even realize I was doing it because I felt that people's love was so compromised at times that when I said that I saw Christ, it bothered people. They thought, maybe she's crazy, maybe this, maybe that. But if you meet me, you kind of know, okay, the crazy card isn't there. So what is this woman actually saying? And no matter what professions I spoke to yesterday, I told two people the whole Christ story from the beginning. Somebody who has known me since my kids were in high school, and he's the editor-in-chief of the newspaper in that town. And I went to go do a story on one thing, and I ended up telling this whole story. So instead of being there 1 hour, I was there too. Now, you all know an editor-in-chief of a newspaper deals with all news, political, business, good news, bad news, hard news to tell. But he loves the job. If you feel an inclination towards politics, and you're somebody who's based in that feeling of talking about love, you will reach more people. You'll reach more people because people understand love, and then they understand politics or whatever work they do. But love has nothing to do with those topics in the sense that those are your interests. Without the love and without the passion, you don't have the drive. But talking about love scares people, and that's why it was so hard for me in the beginning to talk about what Christ was saying. People listened to me, and I know at times they didn't want to like hear the rest of what I said, but they couldn't help listening because the story was so brand new at the time. But I saw it become brand new to two people yesterday. And I, even before I went to bed, I go, wow, I haven't told the story brand new in so long. I've been in a bubble, a happy little bubble of love with the same people who know what I'm talking about. And yes, we get a lot more listeners on the radio and we're getting, you know, a lot more readers on Facebook. To walk into the bubble of love. And it only makes you stronger in everything else you're doing. So if you go anywhere and you find that love isn't present, it's hard to take whatever you're doing to the next level. It's just that love is misunderstood by this group that you are in. Never forget, and this is what Christ told me, that love is so far ahead that it looks like it is behind. So how do we presently express Christ's loving words and address the issues at hand without changing the subject? You don't have to talk about love. People feel it. Once you get into what you're doing, once you understand fully what both sides are doing, then you can inject the conversations because it will be time for them naturally. But when we talk about love, it does not make us weaker, it makes us stronger. If we are anywhere where they're saying that love is what makes us weak, now you're going to have a hard time because now you're going to feel like you can't talk about the most important reason why everybody is there, whether it's love or injured love. And usually when we are, you know, trying to make the world a better place, it's always going to fight government and religion because both are over and above love or anything. They want to keep order of people. And sometimes to keep order of people, it doesn't include the person. Well, we'll just make them do this, them do that. We'll create these laws and force people to act this way and that way. And we'll tell them this about God and scare them to death and make them do this and make them do that. But they're not really thinking about people. They're actually feeling above what they're giving people. And that's why people revolt. And that's why people get mad. And that's why people get hurt. Because they feel that decisions were made not in the best interest of people. And if it's not in the best interest of people today, then it's going to hurt a future that exists in our world. So we want to say something. We want to voice ourselves. We want to be active. So we try to express our voice through music. We try to express our voice through movies. We try to express our voice through books. All of a sudden, the creative juices start flowing because when something isn't right, as people, we want to make it right. And that comes from love. Otherwise, you wouldn't care. You wouldn't even have the stimulus to care. When people start smirking about love, there's a lot of teaching that needs to happen, and that's probably why they're there. And they'll probably learn that. That without the passion and without the love, there's no fuel. None of us have it, even in a relationship. If you find out, let's say two people are together, just two people, and they love each other, and an issue happens between them, because it's inevitable that something will come up that will challenge the couple. And so an issue comes between them. If there isn't enough love for them to want to solve the issue, they won't care. They'll be like, ah, who cares? He can do whatever he wants. She can do whatever she wants. I don't really care anymore. You never want to hear that. Because then it's saying, I am no longer paying attention because my love doesn't feel that high, that strong, that connected. That's too much trouble. Let them do whatever they want. They'll find out on their own. When you love somebody, do you say that? Or do you say, hey, you know what? This is my opinion. Just wanted to run it by you because I don't want you to trip up along the way on this. Just, you know, be aware. You know, I love what you're doing. Speaking from love. We don't have to ever say things. We can just go about our business and not care. But when you are somewhere where love is present, you do care. You will speak. You will try. You will work. So whatever smirking went on in this event, that smirking just told you that, okay, these people are here. They're in for the fight. And maybe that's why they're there. But more things are solved when we get to the love. If there is a big problem and there is a big opposition and there's two sides fighting it away, they really want to hurt each other and they really want to show them that they were wrong and they really, really, really want to do these things, they will. But at the end of it, they'll start to see the process. They'll start to realize how much they've learned. They'll learn more about the issue. They'll learn more about where the problems are within the issues. And then the love will start to come out when they feel it for themselves. There's people I know who remember when they had the walk, that big walk right after Trump was president, and people were upset, and I thought, I wouldn't be upset that Trump is president. It's banded the people together in a way that it never did before. Because people are like, okay, now we've passed ridiculous. Were they mad at Trump? Not. But they were sure surprised by him and some of the things that he wants to do. It singles out people and it might hurt them. Does it mean he's a bad man? No, it means he's the one in power. And his views, which might be narrow on a narrow road, look ridiculous because they don't feed the love of all people. So people who already don't love other people and don't care are loving it. And the people who feel respect for human beings, They're speaking up. And on both sides, they will have to come somewhere in the middle at some point because of love. Because the one who separates people might say, that might not be such a great idea. You would greatly hope so. And the ones who are fighting for other people might say, but we do need some rules. Because we don't want people physically hurting each other and we don't want people stealing from each other because those things happen. That's realistic. And this is going on alive and well in every single time period of lifetimes that we've had on Earth from the very beginning. Even when people were on small farms and things were much slower, there were still things that we made people do that they didn't like, even in the times of Christ. They were taxing people with possessions unfairly, unduly. There was always somebody on top that's intentions weren't coming from love, and those intentions caused problems for everybody. So love isn't the weakness. Love is the reason that anybody would be anywhere to do anything, whether it's the love of our country, the love of our families, the love of our education or educating ourselves, the love of trying to stop barriers to our lives, or to stop overcharging people, or overtaxing people, or overhurting people, making sure that, you know, we fight for rights that people should have, which is a very sad feeling, that we have to fight rules and laws that are unrealistic and put pressure and stress on people. Honestly, if I had anything that I was going to fight in my life, I would fight the 5-day work week. And I would turn it into a 4-day work week. And I would turn school into a 4-day school week. I would change the structure of life in that one way. Because that one way would give people back an extra day of life to rest and to exercise and to eat properly. And it would reduce stress and pressure. And it would give families a time to bond instead of a rush through. And it would put the emphasis back on life rather than rushing. It would solve so many issues to just not pressure ourselves to that level and slow life down by one day. Because everything has become more important than health, and without health, we don't have anything else. Everything else comes second, because if you don't have your health, you can't do anything else easily. It's interesting that some of the happiest people, when I was working and selling equipment and going into everybody's workplace, the happiest people were firemen. They literally were the happiest people I've ever met on the job anywhere. I don't care where I went, as a group of people. Because these people worked 3 days a week. It was a 24-hour day, so those hours when they were sleeping counted because they're on the clock. And they had 4 days a week at home. Their families were happier, they were happier, they started second businesses out of their homes, doing something they love, so they got their creative side, they got their work side, they have their family, their wives are happy, they're happy, their kids are happier, their health was better, and when they're at work, they're a team, and they cook together and clean together and, you know, go fight fires together. They felt like they were doing something good because it's a real job. It's a physical job. Not everybody needs a physical job, but they were getting physical work in there, as well as eating, as well as socializing, as well as the community receiving them well. I couldn't believe the difference between them and other people I saw. The way they walk, the way they talk, they'd smile, they'd joke, they'd laugh. And I thought, man, if I were a guy, I would shoot for that because I love physical work. I love, you know, it fit everything I would love to do. Help people, have a forum to do so. But when we're in a place, and I don't care if it's political, I don't care if it's financial. I don't care if it's on a vacation. If you go anywhere where people smirk at love, their biggest, hardest, challenging issues aren't going to be addressed the same because anger isn't going to fix anything. Once the anger calms down is when the solutions come in and the solving starts and the healing starts. But I want to know anyone who solved anything with anger and really believes it was the anger that solved it. Because I'll be the first to tell you it was the love behind the anger, and if the love behind the anger wasn't present, you didn't solve anything. You're going to have that problem again because the other side didn't get your point of view, because if you threw anger and someone listened to you, it doesn't mean you solved anything. It means you scared them. And now they want to grow wings to fight that back. And once they figure it out in their head, they're going to come back and they're going to fight it back. This was a great question on so many levels because it's just one example of how people equate love with someone who's weak or doesn't speak up or doesn't have a political view or socioeconomic view. I was a stockbroker when I came out of college. I literally got recruited off campus at school to a financial institution. And I did financial planning for everyone, and I had to take this test called the Series 7 test, which is a super hard test to take only because they limit the number of people who can pass that test by making it very hard. I think at the time I took it, it had a 20 to 30% pass rate because they don't want to flood the market with financial people. I had to get bonded by the state, and they did a nationwide search on your fingerprints, and they made sure that, you know, you were somebody who never did anything wrong yet that they could find in your life. They gave you personality tests where they asked you 25 questions 400 ways to make sure your brain was stable. They did everything they could check in you to make sure that you had love, that you had strength, that you had all of these things going on so that they knew then you would do your job. That you had respect for fellow people and you wouldn't steal from them. There are many times I went places and left with checks, more than probably I've ever had at one time in my life to date. But I always gave them to the company. Does that mean I was weak? No. But they made sure that I had love. Without saying, we're going to check your love barometer. Because once we got in, then they started treating us differently. But in the beginning, they weed everyone out. Even in the hiring process, they don't even pay you for 2 months. You have to prove you can do the job. So that way they found who had passion and who had the guts to call people they didn't even know and get business. I see Susan wrote in the chat, love is the entire map, not the destination. That's all it can be. So if we think different, we're going to get different until we get that. And she put, yes, that is what I'm doing myself right now. I am on a 3-day work week, catching up and building a new life. I work better in shorter periods of time than I do if I'm going on a long haul. I do too. We all do because we're fresh. And then we have time to not think about work, and our brain solves the things that are going on in work, and we come back calmer, we come back more whole, we come back fuller. People don't realize we need time to think, to catch up, to physically catch up to life. Just to life. And in Christ's time, how do we express his words and address the issues at hand while changing, without changing the subject? Never forget, the way I was taught about this through Christ was truth, love, and purity. What would you use in this situation? Truth. Speak the truth, and it will raise the love, because trust will come in when truth is spoken. Safety comes in when truth is spoken. You are never, ever weaker as a result of love. And to think that will be to just shoot yourself in the foot before you even start. We all have the right to live in a happy bubble of love, but we can do it and live in our world. It isn't a choice of one or the other. I hope, Eliana, that answered your question. It took the whole show, but it's so important to not see love as a weakness or as a barrier to solving things when it is the only thing that actually solves anything. And maybe that particular group will grow to learn it. Maybe you'll find another group that's doing that same thing. Maybe you will rise the quotient of love in this group. God knows what the outcome will be. Just do your best. Tell the truth, and the truth will open the eyes to love. You guys have a safe weekend. I love you guys so very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.